I think Satan tried to intervene there with the Teletubbies theme song. Whatever that was. That was funny. But Satan didn't win. We won. We got to sing the song, and the church should arise in days like today. And this sermon sort of goes along with that. We are in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And this sermon is titled, Abide in Me. The word abide is repeated in this passage 11 times. In this passage, in the ESV version at least, there's 388 words, and 11 of those words are abide. So Jesus must have wanted us to understand what that word means. Abide means to remain, to stay, or dwell continuously in fellowship with God, signifying a deep, active connection involving trust, obedience, and reliance. And it's illustrated in this passage by a metaphor of a branch connected to a vine. It's a call to persist in faith, holding on to Jesus' teaching and commands, allowing His life to work through you to bear spiritual fruit. And it involves confessing Jesus as the Son of God and loving one another. And we've already seen this confession happen once this morning through believers' baptism, and I'm glad for that. I was listening to John MacArthur preach this passage this week, and he made a point that I really liked. We like to use certain languages sometimes, and I even use this language, and I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with this language, but he was kind of ridiculing this language. He said, we often say that we judge somebody's salvation on whether or not they have a personal relationship with Jesus. But John MacArthur noted that if we stop and think about this, everyone on earth has a personal relationship with Jesus, whether they realize it or not. Not all of the relationships are good ones, however. So Jesus knows everybody deeply, but that doesn't mean that the feeling is reciprocated. Think about Judas. Jesus knew Judas, and Judas knew Jesus, but did Judas abide in Christ? The answer to that is no. Remember, abide means to remain, stay, or dwell continuously in fellowship with God, signifying a deep, active connection involving trust, obedience, and reliance. And Judas did not abide. Short after Jesus' death, Judas died because the wage of sin is death. Yes. Today, we will hear from the mouth of Christ what it means to abide in Him. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we are a church that does abide and will arise as the world needs to see Your light and the world needs to know who You are, know that You're Savior of the world. And I pray that people make You Lord all across the world as You see fit. Lord, I pray that here in this church we do abide and we know what it means to abide and we know that we must persist in our faith until the end. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the true vine. This is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, Jesus is the vine. The way I like to look at this all week long was a tree. I do better understanding a tree. So Jesus is the trunk, and we are the branches. But we're going to stick with the vine talk. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, and God the Father is the vine dresser. I want to start with the negative side of things this morning. Every branch that does not bear fruit, God the Father takes it away. He cuts off these branches. And these branches that bear no fruit get cut off and thrown into the fire. This is an intense imagery he's given here. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, I wonder how many times I'll say abide today. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. So to abide in Christ means to remain, stay, dwell continuously in fellowship with God. And this signifies a deep, active, ongoing relationship. Many people are just floating around on their own, doing life in their own strength. I've tried this before. It does not work. They might know who Jesus is, but they are not abiding. They are not connected. They are not relying on the power of Jesus as their life fuel. These people might even go to church regularly. And Jesus says they will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Think about Judas. Again, he was with Jesus, the same as the rest of the 12. And when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, none of them knew. None of them knew which one it was going to be. They were all asking, is it me, Lord? Is it I, Lord? And then Jesus told them, and then they knew. But Judas didn't. I don't think he really knew. I don't think any of them really knew who wasn't going to abide until the end. And we see in the end that it was Judas who did not abide in Christ, and the rest of them did. So we're still in the upper room. Judas has left, and Jesus is talking to the 11. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, Jesus says. Jesus is telling them to stay with him. He's saying, remain with me. Trust in me. Rely on me. Obey me. Persist in me. Abide in me. And this picture of dead branches that Jesus gives us represent people that are never truly saved. People are sometimes aware of Christ, but never care to abide in him. They never care to grow closer to him. They never care to fully trust him. They don't remain. They don't trust. They don't rely. They don't persist. And they don't obey. They do not abide. So in the end, God the Father cuts them off. They are dead. A dead branch produces no fruit. That's the negative side of this morning. But what about the branches that do produce fruit? The branches that do abide. They are pruned by the Father. This means that there's parts of us that God cuts off to make us look more like him. In our book, on our Sunday school book this morning, it talks about, who was it, Michelangelo that carved David? Am I right about that? Okay. He cut away the parts. When asked about David, he said, how did you do that? He said, I just cut away the parts that didn't look like David. And that's what Jesus does for us, or God the Father does for us. He prunes the parts that don't look like him. This means little parts of us are cut off. The parts of us that don't look like God. This could be our idolatry, the things that we sometimes care about too much, our personal success, our ego, our preferences, and this is the one for me, our comforts. Instead of cutting us all the way off, God the Father cuts off the parts of us that aren't pleasing to him. And in this pruning process, God the Father is making us look more like Him by removing the parts that don't hinder, or that removing the parts that hinder fruit bearing. He cuts away our sin. And I have to tell a little silly story on myself. I've told it in here before, but when I was probably 23 or so, I put a garden in my backyard, and I didn't know anything about growing plants, but I get on Google and I start reading about tomato plants. And you know, when you skim read, you really don't pay attention to the details. A sucker grows between two branches, right? And you're supposed to pull that off so that that branch will produce more. Well, all I saw was pick off the yellow flower. And I picked off every yellow flower. And I had these tomato plants that were this tall, and they produced nothing, no fruit, because I had picked off all of the flowers. I just thought about that this week. I'm not a very good gardener. True believers obey God's word. We obey the Lord's commands. We submit to His will. And when we obey and submit, our prayers and lives are fruitful. Why? Because we are doing what God desires from us. So what is it? As we think about abiding and doing what the Lord says to do, what the heck are we supposed to do? What is it that God desires from us? What does His word tell His believers to do? This is so practical. If you're a person in here that thinks, I've been in church my whole life, I don't know what God wants for me to do, I don't know where He wants me to go, I don't know what people He wants me to deal with, just listen for the next 10 minutes as if Jesus is telling you this Himself. What does God desire from you? Number one, first and foremost, He wants you to accept His offer of salvation. We are all born dead in our sin, right? Because of the sin of Adam, because of the fall, we are born dead in our sin. We are not born as Christians. A decision that our parents make for us does not make us a Christian. A person is truly saved when they realize themselves that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's when they're saved. Don't forget John 14:6. I am the way, this is Jesus saying this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only thing that saves us is our personal faith that Jesus came to earth and lived and died for our benefit, for our gain, so that our faith would save us. So what does God desire from us? First and foremost, He desires that we would accept the offer of salvation. Number two, after we are saved, God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is outlined in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Josh, I did not give you this, but if anybody wants to look that up, it's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. As we're saved, we're growing in the grace. We're growing in our knowledge of the Lord. We're growing in the things that He wants us to do. We're growing in the way that we act towards other people and treat other people and love other people. After we're saved, God wants us to grow in this grace. In our Wednesday night series right now, we're studying the book of Galatians, and the book of Galatians teaches about the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit in us, no longer are we so interested in gratifying the desires of our flesh, which are sexual immorality and division and dissension and all this other stuff, drunkenness, orgies, all this mess. When the Holy Spirit's in us, that stuff goes away and Christ is magnified through our lives and our actions. So this means after we're saved, our aim should be to grow in our knowledge of the Lord. And this, how long does this take, you might ask? Forever, until you die. It's called sanctification. It goes on forever and ever until you die. Number three, God wants us to act justly. Now keep in mind, this is how do we abide? How do we stay with Christ? How do we remain with Christ? One, you're saved. Two, you grow in your knowledge of the Lord as you're being sanctified. Three, God wants us to act justly. When we are saved and growing in our knowledge of God, we should easily know the difference between right and wrong. There should be no corruption in us if we're walking in the Spirit. And this goes with James's song, not the first Teletubby song, the second song. We are to stand, the church is to stand and act justly and know the difference between right and wrong and speak against wrong and speak for right. And this isn't political stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about biblical truth. I'm not talking about being a political savior or a cultural savior. I'm talking about standing for the truth of the Bible. That's it. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about we should act as if Jesus is in us because He is. Amen. Number four, God desires for us to show grace and mercy to the world. We should be able to forgive. I'll say that again. We should be able to forgive. We should be able to turn the other cheek. We should be very giving to those in need. There are other things that God has told us to do more specifically, and these are two things that I'm very focused on myself right now. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So, I know that if I'm paying attention to orphans and widows and keeping myself from being polluted by the temptations of the world, that I'm abiding in Christ. How do I know that? Because that's what His Word says. It says, care for orphans and widows and keep yourself from falling into worldly stuff. Those are three actual practical things that God's Word tells us to do, right? And I hear these over and it screams in my mind that I need to be caring for orphans in whatever capacity that I can do that. I need to be caring for widows in whatever capacity that I can do that. And I need to keep myself from looking like the world in whatever capacity I can do that. That's probably the hardest one of the three. But this is part of what God's Word is telling me and teaching me. And that's how I stay remaining with Jesus. That's how I abide in Christ. And number six, here, this is a big one. This is the mission of the New Testament church. So if we're thinking, well, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know what God wants from me? What am I to do? Five was orphans and widows, and I just didn't say it out loud. I like that you were taking notes. Thank you. Number six, are you ready? She gave me a very sarcastic look. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So if you wake up and you eat breakfast and your first thought is, how am I going to make disciples today? I would argue that you are abiding in Christ, right? Because this is the mission that He's given you. Now, if you wake up and you think, how can I succeed myself today? How can I accomplish all of my worldly longings? And how can I do this for myself and that for myself? And how can I make my life more comfortable? I would argue that you may not be abiding in Christ. But if your first thought is, how can I make disciples today? How can I care for somebody else today? How can I serve somebody else today in the name of Jesus? There's nice people in the world that do a lot of nice things. That doesn't mean that they're saved. We're doing these things in the name of Christ. We're making disciples in the name of Jesus so that His church will grow, so that the world will see His light. Amen? This means that we don't have to go very far to look around and find some people to make disciples. You start with your children, okay? Remember, they're not born Christians. Just because you believe doesn't mean they do. So you start at home with your children. Once you accomplish that mighty feat, go on to your parents. They may not be saved. Make disciples at work. Make disciples of your friends. Go somewhere far away and make disciples if you're feeling froggy. Make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is the mission of the church. How do I abide in Christ? I make disciples of Him. I talk about Him often. I tell people about what He's done in my life. I point people to Him over and over and over and over and over, even when I have sin in me, because we all do. That's the hard part. We're all sinful, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means we all have sin. So it's hard to go out and talk about how good Jesus is when we're really not that good. But the good news is we're not talking about us. We're talking about Him. Make it about Him. Don't glorify yourself. Don't glorify your own sin. Don't glorify your own successes and failures. Glorify God and what He has done in you, not what you have done in you. So when you're making disciples, tell people what Jesus has taught you. And you can tell them, it's good to memorize Scripture. Go read John 15 for yourself and tell people that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and some of the branches bear fruit and God prunes those branches. You could even say, God is pruning me. There's parts of me that don't look like Jesus, and God the Father is cutting those parts off. But by the grace of God, I am abiding in Jesus. There's that word. I am abiding in Jesus, and He has not cut me off, and He's not going to throw me in the fire because I'm with Him every day. This is why Scripture is important, because you can use it in conversation with people. You don't have to use your own words. Use the words that God has given. I am like a branch. God is pruning me to look more like Him. I know this might sound weird to you, but this is in John chapter 15. If you would like to read it for yourself, these are the things that God is doing in me to make me look more like Him. This is all ways to talk to people at work and your children and your family everywhere to make disciples, which is what Jesus is telling us to do. So part of disciple making is teaching people about the Bible. That's not just for the pastor of the church. That's for all Christians everywhere. That's the reason I became a pastor. Not because I wanted to stand up in front of people once or twice a week. I don't even want to do that. I became a pastor so that I could tell a lot of people about Jesus and some of them might come to faith in Him. Listen again to the words of Jesus. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. You have to have Jesus to produce His fruit. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, that little verse there doesn't mean, all right, I'm abiding in Jesus. I can ask Him for $1 million and He'll give it to me. That's not what that means. So don't try that when you get home. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And I think that if we want to narrow this whole passage down, we can use verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So what is he saying here? If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, prove it. What does it say? That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. Prove it how? How do we prove it? Well, I just gave you, how many reasons was it? 6, I think. Prove it by doing what he says. Repent and believe. Be baptized. Leslie proved it this morning. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I want to do what he says. I want to be baptized. It says it in the book. I want to do it. That's step number one. I'm going to repent and believe and be baptized and tell everybody in my local church that I'm a believer. Join your local church. Rattle the gates of hell until the day that you die. Make disciples of all the people that you encounter throughout your life. Care for orphans. Care for widows. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. That means stop watching filth. Stop listening to it. Don't let it trickles into your brain. You let it sink in there and sink in there and sink in there. And the next thing you do, you're staying home on Sunday morning because you got to watch episode 4. Whatever. We've all been there. Stop doing it. Live for the things of God. He gives us so many directives throughout the Bible. Love God, love your neighbor. I've listed all of these this morning. This list, if you only focused on the Great Commission, go and make disciples, that's all you did for the rest of your life, you would never run out of work. You would never run out of ways of proving that you've been saved by Jesus. So no longer, I don't know, how many people are here, Tom? 177. 198. 198 people this morning, myself included, now know What does God want out of my life? How do I prove that I'm abiding in Christ? I go and make disciples. But I'm not good at that. I'm not good at talking with people. I've got this sin in my life. I said a bad word yesterday. Whatever the thing is. Kill your sin and talk about Christ. Kill your sin and pray to God and say, God, thank you. I know I'm sinful. That's the best place you can be. If you ever think that you have no sin, you have a lot more sin than you realize. It's a good place to be to think, I do have sin. God, take this mouth from me. Take this irritability from me. Prune this stuff. I'm a branch. Prune this junk. This leaf is dead. Cut it off. I don't need this one anymore. Lord, take it. And then go and make disciples. Go and talk about, you can talk about your sin. I was this way, and God's changing me to be more like this. This thing is still here, though, and it's bothering me, and I want it gone. And I'm praying to God that He would take it. Talk like this to people. Because otherwise, they're just being polluted by the world, which is something that God tells us not to do. So don't carry on about whatever Netflix show you're watching that you probably shouldn't be watching. Cancel your subscription and talk about Christ. Cancel your subscription and open the book. Cancel your subscription and come to church on Wednesday night. Cancel your subscription and go to dinner with somebody in the church. I guarantee you they have more interesting things to say than whatever Love is Blind episode you're on. I promise you, I've watched that show. It's a mess. There are plenty of other godly things you could be doing with your time. So my question to you this morning is, am I abiding? Are you personally, are you abiding in Christ the way He says? You know, are you going to look up one day and think, oh crap, I'm Judas. I've been with Jesus. You know, I've been with Jesus for 3 years and I'm as dead as I ever was. You know, there's no fruit in me. You do not want to be in that spot. You do not want to be in that spot. So think to yourself, how am I personally abiding in Christ? Am I making disciples? Am I loving my neighbor well? Am I teaching my children about Christ? Am I, you know, it's not about our works. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works. So after we're saved, we should be proving that we have faith. It should be evident. We're supposed to shine the light of Christ. So we should be able to stop and think, you know, I am seeing these changes in myself. I can say safely for myself, I have seen a lot of changes in my own life over the last 10 years. And some of them happened really slowly. And it's embarrassing sometimes to think about how slow the change comes. But to the glory of God, I have seen the change happening. And that's good news. That makes me think, man, I really am abiding in Christ. I'm leaning on Him and not myself. Amen? So go and make disciples. Care for orphans and widows. There's widows here in this church. Care for younger people in this church if you're an older person. Older people, we need you all to pour into us. And vice versa. We need to be doing the same thing. So don't think that you don't have enough wisdom or knowledge or whatever about the Bible. Just tell people what you know about Christ. That's all He desires. He doesn't need you to be some sort of Dr. Ann here. Just tell people what you know about Christ and what He's done in your own life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we do abide in You. I pray that we put ourselves aside. We have big egos. I know I have a big ego, and I think I'm supposed to know this or know that or be this way or be that way, but You just tell us over and over to glorify You with our lives and our actions, that we are to make disciples, and that we're to care for people well, and we're to love people well, and we're to fight our sin, which means we need to be honest about it. If we have sin, we need to be honest. You already know the sin, so we're not hiding it from You, but we need to be honest with ourselves and with others about the things that we're dealing with. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody that needs to confess sin, that they would do that. If they need to apologize to somebody, they would do that. If they need to forgive somebody, that they would do that. Lord, I pray that everything that we do glorifies You so that we do bear fruit, as this word says, and we do abide in You, and that You continue to cut away the parts of us that don't look like You, so that one day when we get to meet You, You will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.